share a scripture reading with you from 1 Samuel chapter 8. And if you have your Bibles with you, I would certainly invite you to turn there and read with me. And if I can't finish reading it all, maybe one of you can. But I'm just going to have to read the whole chapter. I just couldn't seem to do anything but that. So it's 22 verses, 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Isn't that something? I mean, after all the things that they had been warned about, they refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. And that's reading the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel in its entirety for a scripture reading today. And I want to speak to you today. I want to use this title, The Consequences of Rejecting God. And you know, I want to today, by the help of God, I want to, not only today, but every time that I stand before you, I want to tell you the truth. You know, if you want to hear a sermon that makes you think about fluffy white clouds and kittens and you know, pleasant things, you can get a lot of that preaching in the world today. You can go to a lot of different places and you can hear somebody get up and give what they call a sermon, and it'll just make you feel good about everything, and it won't condemn you in anything, but the truth's not like that. The truth condemns us in things, and I want you to know today, I want to share not only this, but some other scripture with you, and make it known today, and that it be well established here today that there are severe consequences that go along with rejecting the Lord. And the Bible says that in the 55th chapter of Isaiah that God's ways are not our ways, neither are His thoughts our thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. And I'm going to tell you, when a person rejects God, God doesn't even look at that with the same type of thought that you and I do. I'm sure of that. God doesn't ever like it when somebody rejects Him in any way. And so He expects the things that He tells us as His creation, He expects them to be done. And when they're not done, God's not pleased with that. I've said this before, and I'm sure that you've heard other people say this. God, as we read God's Word, we read things that God commanded us, not suggested to us, but commanded to us. You know, we read in the 20th chapter of Exodus of God's 10 commandments. I think people today think that God gave 10 suggestions. But He didn't. He gave 10 commandments. And God did not suggest that all men everywhere repent, but He commanded that all men everywhere repent. The people here, and essentially what we're being told, well, their first problem is they wanted to be like everybody else. You know what? God's people don't need to be like everybody else. We need to be that peculiar people that God has called us to be. But they wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to be like all the nations. They wanted to be ruled by an earthly king like all the other nations were being ruled. And we see something in here to me that's very sobering about God. We learn something in this chapter about God that we don't ever need to forget, and that is that God granted them their request. He granted to the people what they wanted, even though it was to their detriment. If they want a king, you know, Samuel was upset about it. Samuel knew that it was a bad thing, and so he went to God and interceded there for them. And God said, you know what, Samuel? If they want a king, let them have a king. But protest it. You know, let them know that you don't agree with it, but you let them have what they want. But you make sure that they know the kind of king that's going to be over them, that He'll take everything from them. He won't be a godly person. He won't be a God-fearing man. He will take everything from you and use it for himself and for the advancement of His own kingdom. And so, even as I said earlier in the reading, even when Samuel made known unto them the things that God had told them about the type of king that they would have, they still wanted to have a king over them. And so, you know, truly, they got what they asked for, didn't they? They got in Saul, they got exactly what they asked for. And of course, the greatest lesson in this, I believe, is what God told Samuel when he made it known that the people had asked for a king. Samuel had been their leader. And when you study the life of Samuel, I know that like everybody else, he was not an absolutely perfect man, but you just can't find much in the scripture to say against Samuel. He was really a man of God. He was really, truly a dedicated servant of the Lord. His sons, made their own bad choices and didn't walk in his ways. I'm sure in studying the life of Samuel, I'm sure that it wasn't for lack of teaching, but they just chose their own wicked path. And so we just, there's not much negative things that the Bible says about this servant of the Lord known as Samuel. But he had been their leader. And so when he, went to God troubled over the fact that they wanted to have an earthly king to reign over them like the other nations, God said, well, Samuel, let them have that. They've not rejected you. Samuel wasn't their king. God was their king. And I'll tell you what, there's never been, I don't care what anybody says, there's never been any form of government any more pure than a theocracy. I'll tell you, when God reigns, everything's good. The Bible says when the wicked reign, the people mourn. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked reign, the people mourn. And sin is a reproach unto any people. And so, he said, Samuel, it's not you that they've rejected, even though you've been the leader of these people for a while, but they've rejected me that I should not reign over them. They had put God away from them as being their king. And there are a lot of things in the world throughout our life. There are things from time to time that we reject. And I'm sure Sister Judy Mitchell, in her work with real estate, I'm sure she could tell you about a lot of times when she has to talk with one of her clients and say, well, these folks, they've rejected your offer. Somebody had made someone an offer on their house, an offer less than what they're asking for. And that person looked at that and said, well, we're going to reject this. We'll make a counter offer, but we're going to reject their offer. There may be, people when they're leaving high school and getting ready to go into college, and they may be offered, scholarships, maybe athletic scholarships or academic scholarships from several places, and they may reject some of those offers. And the things that we reject sometimes, the decisions that we make and the things that we look at and say, no, I don't believe I'm going to do that. Oftentimes in life, the decision we made, it may turn out to be a real good thing, or we may live to regret it. We don't know oftentimes until some time passes how things are going to turn out with the rejections that we, the decisions we make and the things that we either reject or approve. But let me tell you something. Nobody ever profits. Nobody ever benefits. Nobody ever does well by rejecting God. Nobody ever prospers in that. Israel didn't prosper in it. And as you go on and study, and you may have a different outlook on this, but this is the way it appears to me. As you go on and study this nation of Israel, from this point on, they had a succession of kings. They wanted to have a king to reign over them. And so Saul was their first king, and he did, a lot of damage to them. And they had a succession of kings from here on, and they did have times. There were times when they had godly men ruling over them. There were men that you would look at and study their life and say, well, he was a good king, but truly, it was really through the office of king that this nation finally divided and crumbled. Solomon, even as wise a man as he was as a king, he brought idolatry into this nation of people. And really, through the office of king, their downfall came, I believe, and like I said, you may have a different opinion, but I believe they would have been better off to just let God reign over them. You know, nobody's going to do any better than God. But they, you know, like I said, they got what they wanted. And so we don't ever prosper when we reject the Lord. I'm telling you that this nation of people did not prosper, and no nation of people will ever prosper by doing what these people did. And I know there's a lot of people in the world today that don't want to hear it. There's people in the world today that don't want to hear the truth about things. But I'm telling you that we are living in a nation that's pushing God away, and we are rejecting God and His teachings more and more, and you can be sure that we are going to suffer because of it. We're not going to prosper by doing that. There's never been a nation that's prospered by doing that. Let me read you some scripture. I didn't plan on reading this at all, but I'm going to. Listen to this in the 26th chapter of Leviticus. Ye shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither rear ye up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Then, and the threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give you peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fail before you by the sword. You know what Israel was being told here? If you will honor God, if you will obey the Lord, if you will cling to His teachings and follow His words and obey His commandments, I will bless you in every way. I'll bless you in agriculture. I will bless you. You'll be strong in military power. You'll be protected. I will bless your land in every way if you will do these things. And I believe that that holds true for any nation. If we'll walk with God, if we'll follow His teachings, if we'll put away filthy things and not follow after things that God tells us are perverse and abominable, if we will listen to the Lord, God will look down upon us and He'll bless us in every way. You know, I hear people say oftentimes, I can't believe the shape of the economy in the nation that we live in. Well, it shouldn't be any surprise when we look at the morality of the nation that we live in. These other things that happen shouldn't surprise us at all. When, you know, people want to do every vile thing that they want to and just think that there's no consequence to it, why should we be surprised when the other walls begin to crumble? We need help. Jesus was rejected. When He came into the world, folks, He was rejected. You know what? He came here to give His life a ransom for our sins, and His own rejected Him. That's exactly what the Bible tells us. Isaiah the prophet, some 700 years or so before His coming, he prophesied when Jesus came that He would be rejected of men. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 3, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from Him. Yes, He came and He knew rejection. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 11, speaking about the Jews, speaking about Israel, speaking about these same people that I've read about in 1 Samuel 8, Jesus came to them, and the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected their own Messiah. You know why? You know why they rejected him? It wasn't because they didn't believe at all in a Messiah. They believed the Messiah was coming. They were looking for him. But you know why they rejected him? They rejected him because he just wasn't exactly what they wanted him to be. You know why a lot of people reject the things of the Lord today? Because it doesn't suit them. It's just not exactly what they want things to be. You know why? You know why a lot of missionary Baptist people, go away and stop going to church and you don't see them anymore? Because things don't exactly suit them. That's why. They don't want to live the life. They don't want to walk the walk. You know, there's things that they want to do that's contrary to the things of God, and so they say, I'll just go and I'll do my own thing. But I'm telling you, it doesn't make any difference what their life looks like to you. They are not going to benefit by pushing God out of their life. I'm going to tell you something here. I know as young people, I know you're being tempted with a lot of things in the world today, but I'm telling you, if you want your life to go well, you better stick with the Lord. You better stay with God, because if you push God out of your life, you're going to suffer for it. You're going to pay the price for that. There's going to be consequences if you push God away and reject Him and crowd Him out of your life. You're going to pay the price for it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, the people in this land today that are calling themselves preachers so they can get every dime out of people that they can, they're not going to tell you those things. They're going to preach to you about the clouds and make fluffy things, you know. But I'm telling you the truth. We live in a nation today that's pushing God away and rejecting Him and rejecting His teachings, and she's going to pay the price. There's going to be suffering. There's already suffering because of it. Jesus came to His own people, and they received Him not. Remember reading in the 21st chapter of Matthew about Jesus sending, where Jesus was talking about the servants being sent back to the husbandman once the land began to bear its fruit. The householder there, the landowner, had planted the fruit, and when it began to bear the fruit, he began to send the servants back there, and they were taking them and they were killing them. And so finally, he sent his own son back. He thought, well, surely they'll respect my son. And so he sent his own son back, and they did the same thing to his son. And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. You know what? When they rejected Jesus, when he came unto his own and his own received him not, when they rejected him as the Messiah, it didn't mean that he wasn't the Messiah. It did not change one fact, that fact one bit, that he was indeed the Christ. And you know what? Thank God that it goes on and says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Have you ever, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you're sitting here today, lost and without the Lord, and rejecting Him. You know, perhaps when I stand up here and preach the gospel, or some other man of God stands up here and preaches the gospel to you, and it begins to bother you, the Holy Spirit of God begins to deal with your heart. I see people sometimes sitting in the church, they're lost and they're sitting in service and they can't even lift their head up. They can't even hold their head up. They're just so troubled by things that their head is bowed down. You can see from their countenance that they're in trouble, and they'll sit there like that and not do a thing in the world about it, not make any attempt at all to come to the Lord. I want you to know something. If you're lost and you're doing that, you're pushing somebody a lot bigger than me away. It's not me you're rejecting. You know what? I'll preach the gospel as long as God gives me breath. That's what He called me to do. That's my job, and I can't go beyond it. I can't save you. No other man can save you. All we can do as the church is tell you the truth and tell you what you've got to do to be saved. But it's between you and the Lord. And know this, if you push Him away, if you push that away, it's God you're rejecting. It's not the preacher. It's not the church. It's not your mom and dad or your grandma and grandpa. It's God that you're rejecting. Because you know what? In the second chapter of Romans, in the fourth verse, the Bible tells us there that God, by His goodness, leads us to repentance. You know, when God's dealing with you and you're feeling so bad, He's wanting to make you feel good. He's wanting to help you. He's wanting to save you. But you've got to know your condition before Him. And that's why He convicts us. Thank God, Brother Lowe, that God shows us what we are. Amen? If it wasn't for that, if we never saw what we were, we'd never feel the need to turn to Him. I thank God that He, as the psalmist David said, that He brought me low. You know, the lowest I've ever been in this life, there's people in the world today, they say, oh, God wouldn't do that to you. Oh, yes, He will, and thank God that He will. He brought me the lowest that I've ever been in this life. God showed me exactly what I was without Him. And thank God, when I was able by His help to repent of my sins, He lifted me up higher than I've ever been. He brought me up. He brought me down, and He brought me up. The Bible says both of those things. Listen to this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, I want to share these verses with you, verses 14 through 16. This is speaking about Israel again. It said, moreover, all the chief priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. Sound familiar? It ought to. That ought to sound familiar to all of us. We're seeing God's ways and God's teachings transgressed daily in the country that we live in. And polluted the house of the Lord, which He had hallowed in Jerusalem, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy. Let me tell you something, Christian friend. I can tell you this, not only by God's word, but I can tell you this by experience. I can share with you in the scriptures things that God told His people to do. We can read about the fact that how that God told Moses to speak to that rock, and it would bring forth water. And Moses disobeyed Him. And he went out there and he took that rod and he smote that rock twice. Rather than speak to it, he smote it. He hit that rock twice. And you know what? God took his life for that. You don't want to mess with God. He's nobody to be trifled with. You may think, well, what I'm doing is not a big deal. Well, listen, God's ways are not our ways. And if God has instructed you to do it and you're not doing it, I guarantee you it's a big deal to God. He's just not mocked. He's not mocked. You won't pull the wool over God's eyes with anything that you do. He takes it seriously, and you better take it seriously. I've been in trouble with him, and believe me, I don't ever want it again. If you've ever really had a whipping from the Lord, that's enough. You don't want another one. You don't want another one. God, he has taught us in his word how we are to live, and he expects us to live according to that. And we won't prosper ever. Not as saved people. We won't prosper by rejecting that. And listen, as a lost individual, you'll never be saved by pushing God away from you. If you want to be saved, you've got to come to him. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. The wrath of God, speaking about Israel, the wrath of God arose against his people till there was no remedy. Don't reject God. Saved or lost, don't reject God. Don't push him away. Our God is a consuming fire. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let's have a song. You know what? We ought to take everything. I mean, when God moves upon our heart, I've shared this with you before, and I've heard this so many times. Well, you know, God moved up on my heart to testify about something and I didn't do it. I'll tell you what, God's not taking it as lightly as we are. When he moves up on our heart to do something, he's got a reason for that and he expects us to do it. He's serious, folks. God is serious. Let's sing.
The church hymnal number 65. Number